I love sport. I don't know if you guys like sport, but I'm obsessed by sport. I'm not very good at sport, but I love watching it. All the time, I'm trying to watch it at home. I'm watching it on my phone, because normally my girls occupy the TV. I don't get many chances to watch it. But the one thing that I absolutely love is the Olympics. Do you guys like the Olympics? Well, not. I adore it, and I'm always watching it every time it's on. I'm a bit gutted that it was delayed this year. And the one race, though, that I hate watching is the relay race. And I don't know if you like watching the relay race, but I absolutely hate it. The simple reason is this. I support Great Britain and South Africa. It's the joy of living in two different countries. So I can support more people to support. And whenever I watch the Great British team recently, they always seem to drop the baton. When they're going to hand over the baton in the relay race, they drop it. And it's just like, I've seen whatever happens. When they seem to get to the end, it seems to be an inquiry and they seem to be disqualified because they passed it in the wrong place. And it seems to happen over and over again. And the reason they don't seem to do as well recently is not because they're not good enough, but it's because they can't pass the baton. They can't pass it on to each other. They're great athletes by themselves, but they don't know how to pass things on to other people. You know, and as a leadership in our church and our church culture, Kathleen, we were talking about how to create our church culture here, what we wanted to do. And Kathleen raised the point really wisely that we need to create a culture where we're passing things on to our generation and the next generation. To pass the fire on is how she phrased it. So one of our cultural values is this, to be torch carriers, running our race and passing on the fire to our generation and to the generations to come. Because it doesn't matter how impressive a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how successful the stuff you've seen God do in your life and how amazing you've served God. If you don't share what you've learned with other people, if you don't pass it on, then our church, or any church, is only one generation away from extinction. And I'm just thinking of Dennis here in the front row. I'm going to embarrass you, Dennis, so that's okay. But I loved listening to Dennis the other day when I sat down with him, and he started sharing the stories about being a Bridge Street church in Leeds, a great Pentecostal church, and the stuff they did. And it really did inspire me. I left there going, wow, I love hearing what the previous generations have done and generations above me have done. But it doesn't matter how impressive your faith is if you don't pass on the fire to other people. We become like the British relay team, left with nothing to show. And in the Bible, this is really, really important, because in the Bible we see people passing on the fire, passing on the anointing, passing on the stuff they've learned to the next generation over and over again. It's something that was really important in the Bible. We see Moses passing the baton onto Joshua. We see Elijah passing the baton onto Elisha. And we'll look more closely at that story in a minute. But even Jesus was all about passing the baton, passing the fire, teaching the next generation what to do and how to pass things on. And this is what he said in John 14, verses 12 to 14. He said these words, "Truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And the thing about Jesus, he was encouraging his followers not just to do what he did, but to do even greater things. He was passing on the fire to achieve even more than he achieved himself. He wasn't holding everything back for himself. He wasn't saying, "Look, I'm amazing." He wanted to equip the next generation to pass on the baton and to pass the baton on to those who were around him. He even goes further in probably the most famous verse of words of Jesus, apart from John 3:16, is Matthew 28, verse 18 to chapter 20. It says this: "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You know what? Jesus never meant for your faith to be personal. He wanted you to share your faith. He wanted you to share your faith and live it out around you, with the people around you. It was never, you were never supposed to be a Christian just so you could say you were a Christian. You were supposed to be a Christian and lead other people into life. You were supposed to share what he had given you. But it's not just passing it on to the next generation. It's also passing it on to people around you who don't know Jesus yet. It's sharing your faith, passing that fire on all around us. You know, I believe we're called to leave a spiritual legacy. You know, something that can usher in something even greater than was before us. And I believe as a church that we shouldn't just say our best days are behind us, but we should be looking to create a place where our best days are ahead of us as a church. And that's really hard to say during COVID, when the church is a lot more empty than it ever is before. But I believe that our best days are ahead of us. I love how Greg Haslam phrases it. He says this, put it on the screen for us: "We now live with the legacy of the past. We have a job to do now in the present, and we must also look expectantly to the future. We now live with the legacy of the past. We have a job to do now in the present, but we must look to the future, expectantly to the future. But to do this, we need to be torch carriers. We need to be running our race, passing on the fire to our generation and to those to come." But I just want to spend a bit of time today just looking at the story that we looked at earlier in the building. Looking at Elijah and how Elijah was a torch carrier, and learn from his examples. Now, for those of you who don't know who Elijah was probably the most important prophet behind Moses and Abraham for the Jewish people. He was so important. He was the big prophet. He was the top guy, okay, that people followed. And he was famous for doing incredible things. He saw people come back to life. He saw miracles of food being created out of nothing. It's very similar to the miracles that Jesus did, actually. And he's still remembered today by so many Jews and really revered. He saw incredible things happen. But as well as seeing incredible things happen, Elijah suffered from depression. This is one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, yet he got depressed. He got to stages where he didn't want to go on. There was one time he did this incredible miracle, and the queen at the time, called Jezebel, she kept suggesting that God wasn't real and Baal was better than God. So she had all her prophets, and she said to Elijah, let's have an art fight almost. Let's see whose God's better. And Elijah and the prophets of Baal, they both set up like a sacrifice. And Elijah said, let's make this interesting. He said, both of our groups, we're not allowed to set fire to the sacrifice ourselves. Instead, we've got to let our God come down and set fire to the sacrifice. It was that moment of all the pressure that was falling on Elijah. And the prophets of Baal, there's about 400 of them, they said, Baal, please come, please can you set fire, please can you burn up the offering? Nothing happened. And Elijah, being Elijah, he was a little bit, I quite like him. He turned around and said, what's wrong? Is your God sitting on the toilet? And he was just like, what's happening? Where is he? Why is he not listening to you? And then Elijah did something absolutely incredible. He went across to his sacrifice and his offering, and he poured water all over it. And then he prayed that God would come down and would burn up the offering out of heaven, fire came and the offering was burnt like that. Elijah saw this great moment. I'm not being funny, but if I put an offering up in front of this building here, okay, and I put down and I watered the offering and I said, God, please come and burn it, and it came, lightning came from heaven and burnt it up, I'd be thinking, man, I'm the man, quite literally. But Elijah, he got his life threatened after that, and he ran away, that great moment, and he went and hid in a cave, even though things looked amazing, even though he had done amazing miracles, and he was hiding in the cave, and in the cave where he retreated to, he just wanted God to kill him. He was just like, God, just take me now, please. I don't want to keep living. But God spoke to him in that cave. And God said to him, Elijah, I've not given up on you yet. You've something else you've got to do. And he said, Elijah, I want you to get out of this cave. I want you to go down the hill mountainside. I want you to find a man called Elisha. Nice and confusing, Elijah and Elisha. And he said, Elisha is going to be your successor. So he walks down, he goes and finds Elisha. And he went and found them. And Elisha was there. And he was just plowing his field with his oxen. And Elijah just walks up to him. And this is what happens. It's found in 1 Kings 19, verse 19 to 20. And it says this. So Elijah went from there and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. He said, let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye. He said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him, went back, took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, burned the plowing equipment, they cooked the meat, and gave it to the people, and they ate it. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. I love this story. It's a lot of sort of familiarities with Elijah's story and Jesus' story. But Elijah went from a place of wanting to die, wanting to give up, to a place of handing over his legacy to the next generation. He was just walking down the road. It's quite incredible. Just walking down, and he sees Elisha there, and he doesn't even say to Elisha, the Bible doesn't say he says anything to Elisha. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he just threw his coat around Elisha and says, follow me, basically. And Elisha does it. And it's all really, really strange. The word they use for the cloak, by the way, is a mantle. So when we talk about passing on the mantle, it comes from the story. I get a little sense here that when Elijah threw his coat over Elisha, he was doing a little bit of a huff. He wanted God to kill him and to take him to heaven not long before. God didn't do it. He wanted to die. But God said to him, no, Elijah, you've got to pass this on to somebody else. Elijah didn't say anything. But Elisha just chooses to come and to follow him. And I wonder, just in my mind, just a little bit of a thought. I wonder if the reason Elisha followed Elijah was because Elijah had something. He was carrying something. He was carrying the fire of God, and Elisha noticed that. You see, often, it's not the words that you say that have an impact when passing on the fire of God. When passing on the things of God, it's the way that you do it, just the way that you carry yourself. And I think the one of the best ways that we can pass on the fire of God to people around us is by living for Jesus and having a difference in our lives, in the same way that Elijah was living for God. I remember a few years ago, I first became a Christian when I was 18 years old, and I was walking down the road in Worcester, and it was like, Worcester's not the most dramatic place in the world, but I remember just walking down, and there were some Hare Krishna monks, And as I walked past them, they started trying to sell things to my friends to get them to buy some incense sticks. Now, I hate incense sticks. I think they're evil. I don't like them. I hate the smell of them. And the one guy, he kept trying to force my friend to buy them. And I said, no, just leave them alone. And then the Hare Krishna monk turned around to my friend and says, what's different about your friend? And I thought it was really strange. What do you mean, what's different about me? I thought he thought I had body odor or something. He said, why is he so happy? What has he got? Now, I didn't think anything of it at the time because I was 18 years old and I was just out with my friends. But a few years later, I remember that story. And I realized that I was carrying something that was really important, that was different, that people were noticing in me. And in the same way, when Elijah goes to call Elisha, I think Elisha noticed something different. So Elisha decides to come and follow Elijah, and he carries him around, follows him more over the next few years, or however long it was. And then eventually we come to the story. I actually preached on it a few weeks ago. And this is what it says in 2 Kings 2 verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha replies, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. You see, Elisha knew that Elijah had something really important. And he wanted it. But he didn't just want the same as what someone else had, what Elijah had. He wanted twice as much. He was actually quite selfish in some ways. But Elijah was the greatest prophet who had ever lived. And Elisha says, I'm not happy to match up to him. I want to see twice as many things happen as Elijah saw. That's quite an incredible ask. Elisha goes, I want double. You see, Elisha didn't just want to follow and just do the same things as Elijah. He wanted to build on what Elijah had done, not just repeat it. Now, guys, I don't know who led you to become a Christian. I don't know what Christian you look at and you think, wow, they're incredible. But don't just try and copy them. Pray that God will allow you to do twice as much as they have done. You know, as a church, we want to be creating a culture of torch carriers. And I don't want, and we don't want, just to repeat what's been done in the past. I want to see Burslem Elam Church see heaven's greatest days ahead. I want to see Burslem Elam Church encourage people around them, around each other, to achieve more than we ever thought. You know, this morning when I ran another half marathon, when we're running, the thing you notice when you're doing running half marathons, if someone wants to ask me, Jim, where did you finish? Now, I'd never finish in the top 10%. Okay, I'm not that quick. I'm actually quite slow, but I'm getting quicker. I got a personal best this morning, so I'm happy at the moment. But the thing you notice when you're running is this. Is when you're running, everybody cheers each other along when you're not at the front. We all say, go on, you can do it. And in fact, in the last mile, I was sharing with my wife, there was someone who stopped. And I actually turned around and said to them, go on, you can keep going, you can do it. She ended up beating me. But I'm happy that she beat me. I'm happy that I could encourage her to go further than she thought she could go. And that's what we need to do as Christians. That's what we need to do as torch carriers. To encourage the next generation to achieve more than we ever achieved. To encourage them to do more than they ever thought was possible. And as I shared earlier, I love listening to older Christians share. I love stories of what God has done in the past. I love listening to stories about our church and what's happened over the years. And all I keep saying to myself is this. I want to build upon the legacy of people like Pastor Peter, of Kathleen, of Colin and Anne-Marie, some of these guys you won't even know. But they did an incredible service and sacrificed so much to build this church. I want us to grow, not as stale as a church, but to grow in our impact on everything that's been built before. And I just want to finish now, just to share a couple of bits very quickly. In my life, there were some incredible people. I've had incredible people who have passed the baton onto me, who have encouraged me, have handed over the fire of Jesus. Some of them have gone on to be with him now. But I think of Mervyn Saunders, who was a retired minister and a missionary, lived in a little village, an older guy, who just invested so much time in me. And he passed on great wisdom that he had learned. He passed on his excitement. He taught me what it was like to preach at a bigger church and also to preach to three people and how to do it with the same passion. Then there's other people, even the way I watched him, even thinking about Mervyn, I was impacted by the way that even he spoke to his wife and he interacted with his wife. It's always had a massive effect on me. I think of Pastor Edwin, who passed away recently from Silverdale. I think of the incredible impact he had on me and the stuff he imparted to me. In our own church, I think of Catherine, incredible wisdom and the persistence and faithfulness that at the time when they wondered whether it was right to keep our church going, many years ago when there was only 8 people, she kept saying, God hasn't given up on us yet. God, I think God's got more for us. And because of people like her persistence, we're now a much larger church. I've had a number of people say to me, I like your energy. And I keep saying, it's not my energy as a pastor, that it's God working through me that makes a difference. Guys, we can all carry amazing things of God. But the only way we're going to do it, any way I think it really matters, is if we create a culture of being torch carriers, of running our race and passing on the fire to the next generation. So I want to ask you 3 questions, and I'm going to finish so you can wake up and relax. The 3 questions I'm going to ask you is this. Have you got spiritual lessons in your life that you can pass on? That's the first question. If the answer is no, why not? And you can learn some, and who are you going to learn from? But if the answer is yes, who are you going to pass them on to? And as I just briefly mentioned earlier, got muddled up there. Number 3, if you haven't got any spiritual lessons, if you haven't got that fire of Jesus in you, and you want to see him do more through your life, who can you learn from? Who can you spend time with that's going to help you become more and more like Jesus and get that fire and that passion in you? Let's be a church of torch carriers, running our race, pressing on in the fire to our generation and to those to come. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you personally for all the great men and women in my life who've inspired me, who've passed the baton on to me, who've encouraged me. Lord, I thank you for putting them in me. Now, thank you for all the stuff that they've imparted into my life. And Jesus, I pray for our church, Lord. I pray that you would help us to become torch carriers. That you'd help us to run our race. To help us to pass that fire and that passion and the Holy Spirit that you filled us with and the anointings that you filled us with. I pray you'd help us to pass them on to those around us. Lord, help us to get excited and passionate about the future. But help us also, Lord, not to be selfish. Help us, Lord, to want to require the best for the next generation and those around us. We pray that in your precious name. Amen.